Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
What's happening across Connecticut? Melissa in the Morning's conversation with Governor Ned Lamont. Now on WICC 600.
Good morning, Governor Lamont. Welcome to October. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa in the Morning. Just fine, thanks.
I'm glad to have you here. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on that we got to definitely dive into. First and foremost, let's talk about your executive powers. Those have been extended until February 15th. I know there's kind of split thoughts on this one. Mostly the Democratic Party overall feels it's important to keep it going. I read the letter that you had sent asking for your powers to be extended. You have the Republican Party that feels it's gone on too long. I think the question at this point, though, is doctors have said COVID is not going to go anywhere. We're always going to have COVID, unfortunately. So with that being said, I mean, when would executive powers really kind of stop? Only because if COVID keeps being the reason to have it, it almost feels like, well, to what end do executive powers stay in place?
Well, you should remember, Melissa, that, you know, for the first 6 months of the year when the legislature was in session, they could have stepped in and said, I don't want masks on kids, or I don't think nurses should be vaccinated. They could have done anything they wanted with the executive powers. And now that they're not in session, the leadership meets. And within 72 hours, if any Republican or Democratic leader says, I want to look at an executive order, I don't like this one, I want to veto this one. So there's a lot of checks and balances in place. What we did want to do was to say, hey, look, if vaccinations are available to kids at some time in the next couple months, we want the ability to roll that out fast rather than, you know, wait a couple months until the legislature can get a majority who can get in place in person. You've got to be able to move a little faster than that. But I think we have good checks and balances.
Okay, so just to clarify, for people who don't like the idea of extending the executive powers, you're saying instead of having to set up a session, have everybody come to the table, the reason that you have them essentially is right now, really, it's because of the kids. Like having mask mandates in school or making sure that we have vaccine mandates, that's to make a decision fast, like right away.
Exactly. And if any member of the leadership or anybody of the legislature wants to see that change, go right to your leadership and they can vote on it.
So my next question about this, Governor Lamont, is about with the vaccine mandates. I mean, we will actually kind of dive into that more. I know with the vaccine mandates, we're kind of in a place where we're not sure what's going to happen with employment. Let's actually start with mask mandates. Do you think the mask mandates are going to continue in schools until the vaccine becomes available?
I'm not sure, because we'll see what the community spread is. If it's extremely low, maybe we can take a second look at that. But my instinct is we're going to have child vaccinations available on a voluntary basis over the next month or so. So you may find towards the end of this year that we're in a very different place and can take a second look at the masks.
And also, I meant to ask this as well, talking about executive powers really quick. Sorry to bop around. Taking a lot of questions from people at the same time. With federal money, one of the biggest reasons that people who support the executive power staying in place, they say if we're in a state of emergency, we qualify for federal money, for more federal dollars, if you will. But then I'm hearing the other side that that's not true. We qualify for federal money whether or not we're in a state of emergency. Could you clarify that?
You do have to have a state of emergency to be eligible for some of the federal funding. So, that is yet another reason to have this very limited state of authority, state of emergency. You got to remember, people think, you know, we're in the same place as we were a year and a half ago. But 99% of our economy is open. We've just asked kids to wear masks and teachers to get vaccinated so we don't have to shut down schools like they are in Georgia and Mississippi. And we've gone from 350 or so executive orders down to, I think it's 10. And the legislature, ratified those 10. So we're in a very different place, and we're making good progress, and we'll keep watching it.
I think that's why people are confused, though, Governor Lamont. I'm so glad that you kind of outlined that, because I think that's where there's confusion. I think people want to know, you know, it made sense to have executive powers in place when the pandemic was starting. Heck, even when we were rolling out the vaccine, because you had to make quick decisions. It had to be done immediately. We didn't really have time for discussions and meetings and get special sessions together. Like, that all makes sense. But would you say, Governor, that we're still in the same kind of place we were even 18 months ago or even 6 months ago, where it was necessary to leave the legislature out of doing special sessions versus having you just make a decision?
No, not at all. They can call a special session anytime they want. The last special session took 2 months for them to get everybody together. But again, if they want us to be more like Florida, less like Connecticut, and say schools should not require masks for kids, they can have a special session. They can, or they can ask the leadership to weigh in. They had 72 hours to do that. I think people are generally content with how well managed we've been in trying to bring down the COVID infection rate. But I understood the argument. We want checks and balances, so we have checks and balances.
And Governor Lamont, some municipalities, have reached out to me directly on this show and have asked to maybe have more transparency, being able to sit down with you and their health directors and be able to talk about, like, what is sort of the game plan look like? And I know you and I have talked about this a lot, that unfortunately COVID gave us no game plan. It gave us literally no map. We had no idea what to expect. But I do know, for example, like Fairfield First Elect Woman Brenda Kupchick, she said, you know, I would love the opportunity to sit down with my health director, with our town leaders, and really be able to pick Governor Lamont's brain and say, so what's the plan here? I didn't know if you've been getting those inquiries from other towns and cities across the state and what that's going to look like if, in fact, you meet with them.
Yes, well, public health and Deirdre Gifford and our team, they get together on a group basis with all the municipal officials just to give updates on where we are and take questions. You know, I, of course, do the TV briefings every once in a while, and I get, you know, a dozen phone calls a day from different First Elect people, you know, asking about individual situations. So, but you're absolutely right, Melissa. We've got to do everything we can to explain what we're doing and why we're doing it. And those, because there's so much confusion, there's so much misinformation out there. We got to keep people, all rowing in the same direction.
Governor Lamont, one of the big things that I know you're keeping an eye on, we're keeping an eye on, everybody seems to be looking at the vaccine mandates. We know that you pushed back the deadline for people to get everything they need to comply with the rules. But already we know that you're bringing in the National Guard to help out with potential shortages for our state workers who don't want to comply. I guess my question is, I'm very nervous. I'm sure you are kind of as well, with healthcare workers, teachers, state workers. I mean, I'm just doing simple math just from following the reports. I know that there's close to 2,000 healthcare workers without knowing New Vance Health and Griffin Health. I know just between Yale and Hartford Healthcare, you've got almost 2,000 workers who are not complying. I have no idea how many teachers. I know in a report yesterday it was saying 8,000 state workers haven't complied. So I'm just doing basic math. If we've got over 10,000 workers who could be laid off or on unpaid leave as of next week, how do we fill those shortages? Like, what do we do?
I'll take the counter to that. The overwhelming majority of our state employees and our nurses and our nurses at the nursing homes are vaccinated. We had a number of folks who have not yet validated that or showed us what their status is, whether they're testing or vaccinated. But that seems to get better by 1,000 or so every day. More people are responding. You know, I looked at New York and Massachusetts, where you got closer to the, mandate time, and more people got vaccinated. So it was a very small group of folks that refused to get vaccinated or tested. But, you know, a lot of this is federal, law that, you know, they've said, you know, companies over 100, they've said nurses and public-facing healthcare facilities. You want a nurse vaccinated before she takes care of an elderly person or somebody at risk in a hospital. So I think this is sorting itself out, but we've made some contingency plans. No plan to use any guard or anybody else, but we're ready as needed.
No, I agree. I think that obviously this is beyond even the call that you made, that it's now come down from President Biden. I guess what is nerve-wracking for me, so I told my listeners a story of when I was, having my son in Vermont, and our hospital was on strike, that they had to bring nurses and physicians, they had to bring people in from other states to fill the staffing shortages until their contracts were back up and running. And I guess what makes me nervous is, as you mentioned, it's a federal, like, these are federal rules that we're following with these mandates. So with that, and the fact that most states, I'm not going to say all, but most states are going to follow those rules, like, where do we get the manpower then? Even if we did get those numbers better to what I was predicting a couple minutes ago, where do we fill the manpower when we were already dealing with bus driver shortages, teacher shortages, nursing shortages, state worker shortages? Like, what could be our game plan? What do we do?
Well, what's worse is what you see going on in Florida and other states, where the hospitals are overwhelmed and they're sending severely ill patients to Connecticut because our hospitals are open, because our nurses are safe. So we're taking a lot of people who otherwise can't get the elective surgery or support they need. I think that's the biggest risk factor.
That's news to me. That's news to me. So people in these very high infected states, they're sending people for elective surgeries up here?
Yeah, an elective is if it's heart surgery or something, you can do it now. You can do it in 2 weeks, sooner rather than later. So, yes, some of those people are coming up to Hartford Health and other facilities.
I didn't know that.
So what we want to make sure is our hospitals have good capacity and nurses are there. Look, a lot of nurses, frankly, prefer being with other people who are vaccinated. They feel safer and their patients are safer, mm-hmm. which is why the overwhelming majority of nurses and others are getting vaccinated.
Right. I mean, when we were talking to Griffin Health, Dr. Brown said the majority of the doctors and physicians and nurses, they are vaccinated. It's mostly like the administrative workers, paperwork and things like that. Those are most of the people who they were at least seeing in their hospital. He can speak for everybody else. But if that was the case, while we're already dealing, though, with so many restaurants and retail and like so many places that are struggling to fill positions. And now with this, I'm just wondering, where do we get the manpower? Like, where do we find the resources?
We're finding right now that people are slowly getting back to work. You're absolutely right, though. There are a lot of people who are COVID hesitant, didn't want to get back to work, especially restaurants and stores who are forward facing. But we're finding over the last few weeks that people are getting back to work. Fast enough? No, not at all. But they're getting back to work, and I think in part because they know they're working with other people who are vaccinated or tested, and the overwhelming majority of people they're serving at the restaurant also are vaccinated or tested.
I had on earlier this morning Governor Lamont, and I wasn't particularly enthralled with my interview with her, but I spoke with the president of Yankee Institute, and something she had said was she was hoping you would change your mind on the vaccine mandate for certain workers in our state. Do you think you will retract it at any point, or you're going to keep pushing forward?
Look, this is a community health. Look what happened in our nursing homes just going back a year and a half ago. Does the head of the Yankee Institute really want unvaccinated nurses taking care of 90-year-old patients? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. No, I certainly don't. I think if I had somebody who I loved being in a nursing home or even in a hospital, I would want to know. And when you look at how they already have to be vaccinated with virtually everything to do their job, it makes sense. I think the healthcare industry, it makes sense. I have to forward questions that I get from everybody. We're talking to Governor Lamont.
Even teachers. I mean, teachers are walking into a classroom filled with unvaccinated kids. And thankfully, Melissa, almost all of our teachers have gotten vaccinated. Some chose testing, but overwhelming majority. And our schools are open. Other places, there are a million kids who aren't going to school because of quarantine issues.
Have you gotten any idea, Governor Lamont, speaking of testing, any idea when we're going to have to start paying for testing?
for the state employees, we have said we'll pay for testing, for the first month. That gives you time. Hopefully more and more of those people get vaccinated. That's absolutely cost-free, no questions asked. Testing for us as a government can get quite expensive. You know, for you and most of your listeners, I think 98% of you are covered under your insurance.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure, like, at some point, if even our insurance companies are going to be like, this is getting ridiculous, because it's expensive. Like, I've looked at it, and it's expensive. Every time you take a test, it is really expensive. So I just wasn't sure, you know, like, for teachers, for example, the fact that they could opt out and do the testing if at some point it's going to come out of their pockets versus, just being covered.
At some point it will. But you want to know what's really expensive, Melissa? Somebody unvaccinated catches COVID, ends up in an ICU, and that's about $40,000, and that goes right into people's insurance premiums next year. So that's what's expensive.
Very true.
And well, deadly.
Yeah, very, very true. Well, Governor Lamont, we appreciate you staying on extra this morning, and I always appreciate you stopping by every couple of weeks. Thanks for your time this morning.
Great, Melissa. Thanks. Let's do it in person sometime.
I know, right? We still have to meet up for lunch. I will contact your people, and I will make that happen. Seriously. Thank you, Governor Lamont. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, everybody. Be safe.
Thank you. You too.
What's happening in Washington and how it affects you? Melissa in the Morning. Welcome Congressman Jim Himes to WICC 600.
Hey, good morning, Congressman Himes. Thanks for being here this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. Just fine. Thank you.
So I actually noticed, I think it was on maybe your Twitter account. Don't quote me on this. Or maybe you retweeted it. I don't remember. But I think I saw it on your Twitter account. I'm talking about jobs. And it kind of made me think a couple of things. So we're finally turning a corner, which is great, right? I mean, we're starting to see the unemployment numbers sort of go down, which is great. However, I'm really nervous about all these mandates. So we've been talking a lot on the show about the vaccine mandates. And like here in Connecticut, I'm kind of estimating somewhere around at least 10,000 workers could be off the job by next week. That's between healthcare workers, teachers, state workers. And I just wanted to get kind of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, so I don't know about those numbers. I haven't looked at any data on it. But balancing the jobs, of course, and what, I think what you're referring to is if, at some workplaces or certainly at state workplaces, employees are given a choice between getting vaccinated or going into a very intense testing regime. And I understand that some people feel like that's a mandate, as you said. But Melissa, on the flip side of that, 700,000 dead Americans, 700,000 dead Americans, right? And we now have a pandemic that is ongoing that didn't need to happen, right? So the 2,500 Americans who died yesterday, the 2,000 who died before, a lot of them didn't need to die. But we have people who, because this has become politicized, and for a variety of other reasons, to be fair, aren't getting vaccinated. And so as a country, we have the pandemic still ripping through our society. So the vaccine is safe. We know that. Now, I know there are people who don't believe that, just as there are people who believe that the moon is made of green cheese. But people's decision not to get vaccinated is killing other Americans. So I really don't have a lot of sympathy at this point for people who are saying, you know, it's my right not to get vaccinated. That's just, again, that kind of thinking is responsible for the death of a lot of Americans. So the answer here is that people should get vaccinated.
But Congressman Himes, for this show, I've made it super clear that I can understand healthcare workers with the mandate. I can totally understand it because they're already mandated to take pretty much every other vaccine under the sun to make sure that their patients are safe. So the healthcare industry, I pretty much can understand that. But you know, when you have mandates for teachers and for state workers, for example, you know, where we were already seeing shortages, why isn't just being able to wear a mask and social distance and be responsible? There are plenty of people who are unvaccinated who are just not comfortable or not ready. I'm not giving them an excuse, but I'm just saying who don't have the vaccine, who can just be morally responsible and still should be able to show up for work. Like, where are we going to fill these shortages? It just seems like a disaster is coming.
Yeah, so I'm not super familiar with what the rules are for teachers, but most private sector workplaces are giving people an option. They're saying either get vaccinated or you're going to have to subject yourself to very frequent tests. That feels to me like a better alternative than nothing at all, right? But when you say healthcare workers are required to get vaccinated, Melissa, every single one of us is required to be vaccinated. We all get mumps, rubella. I can't even remember because my kids are a lot older now. But, I mean, you know, when your kids are born, they get vaccinated, and they don't get to go to school if they're not vaccinated. So I think, you know, with all due respect, I think your argument fails there. All of us are required, if we want to do things like go to school, to get vaccines, because we know that those vaccines are safe, and because we know that we do things when we take vaccines, like wipe out smallpox, which used to kill millions of Americans, right? So, you know, again, I just have very, very limited sympathy for people who are saying, look, I understand that people, lots of people hate needles. I understand that people are worried, you know, black Americans, you know, who look back on certain, you know, medical trials where black people were victimized. I understand some hesitation. But this argument, and I'll just say this as flat out as I could say it, Melissa, because I've lost patience, because I've seen too many Americans die. This argument that I don't have to wear a mask, that I don't have to get vaccinated, let's call it what it is. It's not about freedom. You don't wear a mask and get vaccinated for your own safety. You do it so that you don't kill other people, so that when you go visit grandma or you go visit your cousin's kids, you don't give them COVID and put them in ICU. That's why you get vaccinated and why you wear a mask. So when people are running around and saying this impinges on my freedom, all I can say, really? Freedom to kill other Americans? So as you can tell, and Melissa, the passion in my voice comes from the fact that every single day, 2,000 Americans are dying. And we can stop that by doing some things that aren't that hard, getting vaccinated and wearing a mask when you're in a big group of people.
Mm-hmm. No, and here's the thing, Congressman Himes, I couldn't agree with you more. I've lost 3 people to COVID. I myself am vaccinated. Heck, for the last 18 months, this show has basically been dedicated on informing people about COVID, not vaccine shaming people, so people will get vaccinated. So I couldn't agree with you more. I just want to make that super clear. And I don't disagree with you. Trust me, I can't tell you how many times I feel like I bash my head against the wall after this show. So I totally get you. I guess what I was saying is so what do we do? Because we're in this situation now. Like, what do we do? Because I think to myself, okay, so when contracts, for example, like let's just say a contract issue is going on at the hospital, they go on strike, we bring in doctors or nurses or administrators from other states. But because the mandate is something that really the whole country, we're all dealing with COVID, like where do we even pull these resources at this point? Like I'm worried, I guess, about like, is the economy going to probably crash? Like where are we kind of going? What is sort of the backup plan here? Because if people call the bluff of a mandate, we're going to be in worse trouble than we were, I think, even last year during COVID, if you've got thousands of people walking out on the job next week.
Yeah, well, I think the data show that when people are required to get vaccines, most, if not all of them do. That's what we've sort of seen nationally in order to keep their jobs, right? So I think we also need to see what goes to work, what actually happens here. But look, if somebody is so determined to not get a vaccine, they're so okay with the notion that unvaccinated people are the reason that this pandemic is still with us, that the economy is still in peril, that we're still losing 2,000. You know, if they're so passionate about their mistaken beliefs that they're willing to give up their job and their income to do it, I'm not sure there's a lot that we can do about that. What I know that we can't do, since, again, look at the graphs of this pandemic. This third pandemic is a pandemic amongst the unvaccinated. What I don't think we can do is say, oh, okay, it's all right for you not to get vaccinated. And the reason for that is because, Melissa, when you and I go to bed tonight, 2,000 of our fellow Americans who are alive right now will be dead. And that's just not okay. Now, let me add one thing, because as you can tell, I've got a fair amount of passion, and I think you're on the right side of this, too. I don't think we can shame people into getting vaccinated. And though I am passionate about this, I think we need to continue to do the hard work of explaining to people that this is safe, that billions of doses have been administered around the world with really, you know, far fewer side effects than come from taking aspirin or birth control pills or you name it. And I also think, and I tried to do this just 2 minutes ago, we really need to frame this and remind people why they're doing it. Because I really believe that Americans in their heart of hearts are generous, good, giving, sharing people. You know, wearing a mask is not about protecting you. That's not because you're weak. That's not because you're vulnerable. It's because you might have COVID and not know it. And if you walk into a big crowd of people with an elderly person who's not vaccinated for whatever reason, your COVID could kill that person. That's why we wear a mask, to keep other people safe. And I think we need to keep telling that story.
Mm-hmm. And Congressman Himes, I know we've run out of time, but really quickly, if we see more people who need unemployment because they walk, do you think they'll bring back the federal unemployment? I know that just left us weeks ago. Do you think they'd bring that back?
Not sure, Melissa, because as you know, and as everybody knows from the headlines, we're wrestling with three big things down here, including right now, you know, the debt ceiling. We averted a government shutdown. You get sort of half a clap, half a golf clap for that, right?
Yeah.
you know, we're working on this much larger budget deal right now. And so I should have a lot more to report on that next week.
Well, Congressman Himes, we appreciate your time and thank you so much for stopping by this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Melissa. Take care.
You too.